This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Welcome back. I know it's been a long time since we had a Saturday podcast. One of the things I wanted to do today, I left the cameras off today. We're not doing the video that I've been putting on Rumble and put the full episodes on YouTube. Why not? Maybe I have. I forget. I think I have. I'm getting confused with the different channels. We have Rumble, YouTube, and then I have the Christopher Scott Show and Project Chaos. You know, and yesterday I was talking about adding a third one. I can't keep track now. Now you know why I'm saying now's not the time to do that. But anyway, I know that all the videos are on Rumble, and it's not really getting much traction. I'd be interested to see how this little experiment goes. I just have to wait and see. And the amount of time I may adjust the way we're doing it as I get into it. Maybe do some different tests with that. I just don't know that the video of me talking is, of course I look great. Have you seen it? I look fabulous. I'm thinking about selling skincare products and vitamins and whatnot like everybody else does. Why not, right? Amazing what a little lighting and some Zoom filters will do for you, baby. All of a sudden I'm in the skincare business. All right, I'm horsing around. It's not really why I came on here. Yes, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. I went over that in detail yesterday. But I wanted to just kind of recap a couple of things because I kind of ended the end of the week there relaxed a little bit, which is fine. I think it's fine. I do. And I'm not on here today to get everybody all razzed up either. But notwithstanding that, and I even hear my wife saying it, who comes from a liberal New York crowd. Not that her family are liberal, but, it's very liberal where they came from, that area. And that's what they're exposed to, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And even I see the real concern on her, you know, pressing me for what the game plan for this spring is for planting food. And not because I think that she's concerned that we're not going to be able to get food or anything like that, but that she sees the importance of us being able to produce our own food if and when needed. And just real quick on this, just to tell you where I'm at, because I don't like to get on the soapbox and mislead people. We're not homesteading here. That's not my intention at all. Thank goodness, I'm way too busy to get into that. But at the same time, I've said to you, I think it's one of the most important things we need to be doing right now is being able to grow our own food. I think we may be seriously headed for some times. And let me say this, as much as I'm not a doomsdayer, I'm not at all. I've said over and over again, I don't see that coming. In this modern age with how educated people are generally and all the technology and tools and equipment that we have to really make things happen very, very quickly in many cases. I'm not a doomsdayer, but at the same time, certain things are very fragile. And, you know, it only takes a couple of little switches to go off. And I don't know what those switches are. I don't have any, like, you know, detailed predictions on all that. But, you know, one of the things going around is the number of fires that there's been at food processing facilities. Now, you know, nobody's looked into this. I was asking, and these are crazy phenomena, by the way. I'll give you by way of example. Do you know that there's like 1,300 train derailments on average in this country every year? 1,300 train derailments? And so, you know, every once in a while, I mean, you could do podcasts on it. Do you realize that? I should write that down. The derailed. Derailed, we'll call it. There's a podcast idea for you. There's content for everything out there. Derailed, studying the phenomena of derailed trains in America. 1,300 a year. That's my NPR voice. I had somebody talking to me about NPR the other day. What do you think? I think you shouldn't listen to NPR is what I would say. I'm not sure why you're talking to me about this. Yeah, but the but I said, listen, I'm not sure how to make this clear to you. I don't listen to NPR. It's garbage. It was so smooth. And the propaganda line was so convincing, I think was the point. Listen, it is. It's very soothing to the ears. It's almost like a psychological game. You're putting yourself through psychological. You want to listen to NPR, you're listening to psychological torture, essentially. I don't know how much clearer to say. If you're going to listen to NPR, you're going to need a therapist. You may be years of therapy coming out of that. You can't see reality for what it is. You'll be talking like this. A couple hours NPR, you're going like this. I don't understand. I mean, it seems so complicated. It is. Everything's really, really complicated. All these years we've been around, all this progress, and suddenly everything's gotten so complicated that nobody understands anything. Whatever happened to the good old days when you're trying to solve like simple common problems like crime? You know, everything's gotten so complicated. Crazy, like delusional, really. Not really. You know what it is? I think that it's the shift in the news and the media is just... And the influx of social media. Let me go down this rabbit hole a second. You know, I grew up basically in the 70s, the 80s. I became an adult in the 90s, late 90s, having my children, 2000s, raising my children. Here I am, 2024, with a 9-year-old daughter who's amazing. And before I take you down this little trip down, you know, just comparing how things were in the past, my daughter is just absolutely elated with the work I'm doing over at projectchaos.org. I hope you go check it out. The videos are super cool. The content is amazing. And she loves it. Well, she asked me for a copy of my book, my new book, Victory Over Chaos. And she said, will you sign it? I said, of course. And I have a bunch pre-signed that I was going to pull one out. And I said, no, let me write something special. And I actually gave her all three books. And it's a little deep for her, but I think it's something that she'll treasure looking forward. But anyway, you know, so back in the day, and I can even remember, like, I guess Bush Sr. running, there was debates. And they were boring, really. They were relatively boring. Relatively uneventful. You'd get a little, you know... Next week, a little bit of fiery rhetoric going, but nothing like we see today. And it's not like the country hasn't seen it before, and people remind me of that, you know, often. I'm not saying, oh, my gosh, this is, like, unprecedented. There's been, like, gunfights on the steps of, and I think even in the halls of Congress. Don't quote me on that. You know, fist fights have broken out. It's kind of amazing when you think about it. Really amazing, the history of it. But anyway, at least as far as the 70s and 80s were concerned, you know, I guess we're coming off the Vietnam era and the whole depressive 70s era. We had the Reagan era. We had the whole Bush run-up. But lately, it's been the liberal Democrat leadership that has been very heavy on social programs, social funding, social welfare, social engineering, social remanufacturing, social integration, social reintegration. And, you know, I've asked this simple question, what does all this liberal progress led us to? Who's happy, really? You know, some people are, but, you know, here's the thing. When they start the spending wheels on these, quote, social programs, they buy those votes, it becomes the most loyal voter ever. I'll give you an example. A lady here in Pennsylvania ran for state legislature, a lady by the name of Nancy Price. Nancy Price needed a treasurer for her campaign, and she needed campaign help. And I was thinking about running for county commissioner. And I volunteered to be her treasurer, and I also helped with her campaign on a few levels. to get a little experience for myself. And when we go to this one particular, we're door knocking. We talk about an experience. I'm out there doing this, and I'm just thinking, this is crazy to me. I don't know that I see the Democrats doing that to the same degree. They will in certain areas. But it's the amount of work, I'm like, this is nuts. Like, to get what out of this? Doesn't make any economic sense. I went out with her for one stint, a couple hours. I was like, I'm not doing that again. Not my cup of tea at all. Hello? Are you voting? Just wanted to introduce myself. She did all the talking. Anyway, this one guy comes out. This one I'm going to tell you was very striking. And basically said, I'm in the union. My pension's covered. I can't vote against these people. Done. You know, if you think that you're going to vote in somebody who's going to think with fiscal responsibility, oh, you better watch. You're going to cut that funding to you. It's all fear tactics. It's all fear tactics. There's so much waste in government that they wouldn't have a problem keeping simple obligations of government and reducing the tax burden at the same time, reducing the spending burden, at to say the least. It's unfathomable when you think where we're at in this regard. I started this by saying, look at where we were, how things are now, I should say, compared to the way they were being done in the 70s and the 80s. What's the big difference? Well, you know, nobody's talking. There's no debating. It's just yelling, arguing, social media. Everything's been reduced to sound bites and blurbs. People are doing outrageous things just to get attention because you mostly have to. I'm wondering how long before I have to resort to something like that. I was thinking, what could I do? You know, like to do something just it's going to get a lot of attention. You know, you can't be careful. You don't do anything criminal. I'm just messing around. I'm not going to, you know, change who I am. But it's just, it's gotten very chaotic, has it not? And as I said yesterday, you know, where's the vision? Nobody's really planting any of that out. In the 70s and 80s, I think there was a vision. Roads, schools, police, you know, a world that was safer. And it largely happened. Well, what happened that changed all that? And I don't know how you don't look at the past 30 years and say that it's not the impact of the progressive liberal movement that has destroyed the Democrat Party. Listen, whatever you want to say, you may be a liberal, you don't like me saying that. Whatever you want to say about, you know, the conservative party, and the Republicans have their own blame, the rhinos and going along with stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. I don't care what your political thinking. Tell me there's not stupid stuff going on in our government. I think everybody pretty much unanimously agrees on that. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't think so, though. I don't think so at all. So, you know, there was at least a bit of a vision back then, you know, cleaning up the environment in the 70s, and it worked. Where's that vision gone? We just had these giant regulatory agencies now that do nothing but destroy innovation, overregulate companies, create sensationalized headlines, and if that's not enough, they're getting politicized. Unreal, really, when you think about it. Not that that hasn't been going on a while. But, you know, what is the solution? Mine is to say, hey, less government, less regulation, lower taxes. How much poverty would be eradicated if the government didn't take so much? How much of it is squandered away? I mean, just to other nations. And nobody can really explain why it's so important. For all the people that hate Trump, there's my question. How do you account for the money that we send all these countries overseas? What's the logic? Well, it's to further American interests. Could you be a little more specific? It's complicated. You wouldn't understand. Try me. Give me a basic. Oh, you know, we funded water and this and that. And Yeah, all these very altruistic ideas. I say bunk. I say some greedy politician sent his brother over there to own a construction company that he started last week. There's a guy who's made aware of a congressman, I guess, here, a state representative here in Pennsylvania. And some of the allegations that I got about this guy I found to be very interesting. I started poking around, and there seems to be quite a bit of validity to it. I don't know. Some of these people, and you know, here's the funny thing. So this guy's a state representative, right? So he's at the state level. And I went and checked his campaign finance. You know how much his entire campaign raised? $15,000. They spent $11,000. Republican. It's a Republican district. So what that means is, the way things go today, everybody's pretty much voting along party lines. You know, the independent vote or whatever they want to call it. I don't think there's a whole lot to it anymore. I really, really don't. And that's where I think the dirty politicians play. They're like, yeah, we just get the most registered voters and they win with that. Whether those registered voters are alive or not, or citizens or not, is irrelevant. That's why we're protecting our democracy, they say. You can't possibly speak in terms of the rule of law when you think like that. So then they have the highest number of registered voters. They purposely create a lot of polarization because no matter which side the popular opinion is on, they win every stinking time, which is why I say to you, if you want to run for office today, at least where I'm at. Now, this guy where he's at, Lebanon County, it's a different story out there. It's Republican out there. You can't run as a Democrat and win out there. I don't care how sensible you're talking. They're not going to elect a Democrat out there, not in Lebanon County. Now, I do see, and so you come to this practical solution, like I'm saying, that here, if you're going to run, you'd have to run as a Democrat. If I was going to run here, and now our county board here, they require one Republican to be on the board. But you know what that gets you? Nothing. I don't understand the political play in it at all. I don't understand any of it. It's just a really shady, sleazy business, this whole business of politics. As I've gotten to peek into the underbelly of it just a little bit, you know, to the state level, the local and state level. That's my knowledge. I don't know anything about the federal level elections and process, really. I shouldn't say I don't know anything, but I don't have the same depth of expertise at that level. Anyway, where was I going with all this? I don't know. It's the country is facing some serious crisis of confidence, right? And you're heading into an election year with that. Huge crisis of confidence, to say the least. And I'll be anxious to see. I was saying that, you know, you look at the elections, you have to run as a Democrat. The Democrats have had control. The Democrat Party has been hijacked by the liberal progressives who force the entire party to go along with these bizarre things like COVID lockdowns, masks, and the Trump witch hunt and these crazy things. And, you know, your reasonable Democrats are getting drowned out. Now, you know, Republicans would make the same complaint, but it's a lot of chaos. And here's what I was going into with all that. Here's what I wanted to tell you about the food and everything. I don't know how you look at everything going on and don't say that this isn't going to be chaotic. I really don't. I don't know how you look at it and say that we're not looking at an incredible amount of chaos, likely a repeat of what we saw happening in 2020, where you had riots and looting and all this craziness going on. And I think that ultimately the Democrats, they're going to have to. They do view Trump as an existential threat. Did you see the video that was released of the young girl, the blue or the purple hair, and I guess she was the liberal. She appeared that maybe she was gay or something, and I don't know why I'm surmising that, judging a book by its cover. It's awful of me, I know, but that was the perception I got. Maybe cis. I don't know these terms anyway. But she looked different than me, okay, naturally. How's that? That's about as non-superficial as I can be. Well, anyway, she came on, and she's, you know, basically the shtick was, you know what Trump's going to do? And let me tell you, and she reads down the whole thing. Well, conservatives start spreading around. This is hilarious. Look at, you know, he's going to secure the border, and he's going to make health care affordable, whatever the talking points were. And I thought to myself, this is funny how everybody accepts this as authentic. Like they couldn't hire somebody to come on and create something like this. Could somebody? Would somebody? Did somebody? I really don't know. But the fact of the matter is that Trump has a pretty aggressive agenda for his second term. And he's had, you know, he's demonstrated the ability to deliver on this stuff. Now, how well is he going to be able to do that this time around? Is he even going to get elected? And how's his cognitive ability? He looks a little beat up to me. You know, this New York trial thing, I think, is there's more aggravation for him in that than meets the eye. I have a feeling that he knows who to call. You know, he can raise the money, and they're going to beat that thing ultimately. But the stress it's got to create for him, the time that it's got to tie up for him, really immeasurable when you think about it. And here's a guy that could literally be basking in the sun down in Mar-a-Lago. And there's another example, man. I look at the passion. I'll leave you with this thought on all this. I've been talking to all these different veterans at this projectchaos.org. And listening to the different stories, and much of it big history. And I've noticed a real pattern to the way veterans do things. It's not limited to veterans, but most veterans think along these lines. Many, most, whatever. One is that, you know, you see a problem, you stop and fix it. You don't just leave it that way. And that's kind of the legacy thing. So you're like expected to pay it forward. Expected to do what's best for everybody. You see a problem, you stop and fix it. You see something that's wasteful or abusive or wrong, you have a duty to stand up and do something about it, to intervene, a duty to intervene. The pay-it-forward veterans have a natural mentality of a duty to intervene, and not all the time in every circumstance, of course. I think it much aligns with the veteran way of thinking. And it's not the way our country works. And I think it's why so many veterans have been shamed into silence, the mental and practical abuse on whistleblowers, many of them veterans, is unreal. I never had any idea. It's like a little-known systemic pattern of abuse by our government agencies. And most of it carried out by liberals. And I'm not the only one telling these stories either. Not at all. Not one stinking bit. And there's another thing that's been unanimous among the veterans that I speak to. They're all concerned about the direction of our military. All concerned about what's going on. All right, one last thing. Since we still have a couple of minutes. No, two last things I'm going to tell you. Somebody asked me, you know, how am I enjoying doing the live radio versus the podcast? And the short answer is mega rush. It's just such a good time. I enjoy it to no end. I'm loving every minute of it. And I don't know what the future is. You know, right now everything seems really good and growing, but you know, there's still a lot of unmet business goals, needs, whatever you want to call it. Which, you know, could put things very much in question, you know, how long it goes on. But even that, as I've stepped back, you know, basically the radio show for all practical purposes right now is funded through August. And we'll see where it goes from there. And there's a chance it might not continue after that, quite frankly. And if that happens, am I going to be upset? I don't know about that, but I know this. If you ask me right now, I would be, yeah, if it had to end right now for some reason. I'm really enjoying doing it. I don't want it to end, just to be clear. I'm hoping it can continue. It creates a certain vibrancy to the whole project that I think is exciting and opens certain doors. And I enjoy doing it. So if you put that all together, you know, there you have it. But otherwise, it doesn't have a great business purpose, quite frankly. Not to say there's none, because there obviously is, but it's not a great business purpose. The podcast is a better vehicle to do that in this time, for sure. But yeah, I love doing it. Short answer, doing that. And also, yes, I have my electric bike out. The past couple of days have been beautiful here. Somebody asked me about that. Hey, you still have that electric bike? Yes, I do. I don't plan on getting rid of that thing. It's been a game changer for me. And one of the things that I really wanted to be able to enjoy, it just happened the other day, is when my daughter wants to go for a little impromptu ride and I don't really feel like it. Guess what? Now I always feel like it with that thing. It's great. It's been a great addition to my life. And I don't have any intentions of getting rid of it, especially get into the summer. And with that, it's the weekend. If you can, get outside. I know I'm catching up, meeting up with a couple of friends this weekend, looking forward to it, and spending some time outside myself. It's going to be time for spring cleanup around here before you know it. We've got so many down branches and whatnot to clean up. There's about a million dog balls all over the yard and some other things. The fire pit has been more like a pond, and you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have a fire this weekend. I mean, I used to get the old fire pit revved up, and I think the weather might be perfect for it. But then again, I heard the possibility of a little rain as well. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all shakes out. God willing, I'll be back on Monday. Sure hope to see you there. Go visit ChristopherScottShow.com. Sign up for my email list if you haven't already. Been sending out some email clips and we got some other stuff going on. At some point, I'll be sending it out. And when I do, you don't want to miss it. Sign up for my email list at ChristopherScottShow.com. God willing, I'll see you back on Monday. Make it a great weekend.